Hello all, and welcome back to episode 30 of The Lair of Lore?
Yeah.
I'm even on the website, and I forgot to just go check and see what episode. 31! It's 31! Oops. Dang it.
Hi guys, and gals.
I was looking at YouTube videos that weren't or all needed friends. To be posted instead of the actual site. Oops.
It's all good. We're here.
Yes, we are. We are here. Sorry. Quick run through of why on earth it took us so long to do this again. So, I was supposed to be gone for... Well, okay, one, we were supposed to record two episodes, and then we went way too long!
We got lost in the lore.
Yep.
That happens. That's our name is our downfall.
Yes. So, second, I was supposed to be gone for a week, then we'd come back, record one, while Miriam was gone. What actually happened was... I ended up having to be gone for 2 weeks because my, nice little visit trip turned into a whole lot more shittiness than it was supposed to be. Sorry, this is not level, and it won't stay level. That's going to annoy me. So that's a whole thing that we'd rather not talk about. And then I came back, and Miriam left! So we couldn't record! So now we're recording as soon as we can!
3 weeks later? We're here.
Yeah.
We're here.
Sorry, y'all. That really was not on purpose. Like, we even had a plan this time, but it was just... It entirely fell apart when my travel plans had to fundamentally change.
Yes.
Yeah. Last time, we talked about Allomancy, which is the magic system used in the...
The World of Scadrial.
Yes, the World of Scadrial.
I remembered that one.
Sorry, we may or may not have just spent the entire Extra Bits pre-show talking about a combination of Dominaria, which we'll talk about a little bit here, and lots
just
of...
Just a smidge.
And a lot of spoilery stuff for Roshar, the planet used in Stormlight Archive.
Because I have finally started Stormlight Archives.
So, honestly, I think we're just going to dive right in. Just a reminder that this will sort of be spoiler territory for Mistborn series. We're going to be covering how Ferrochemy works. This is the alternate...
Oh, and talking about the Terrace people, because we didn't talk about them last time.
And talking about the Terrace people, and probably, if we can help it, getting into Hemalurgy, because Hemalurgy is a lot quicker than everything else.
Yes,
So
very much so.
But basic idea, we're going to be running through what each one of the different metals, how the different metals function in Ferrochemy. Same thing as Allomancy, there are the basic 16 and the two god metals.
Mm-hmm.
They do similar things. Again, reminder that this is sort of a spoiler for the Mistborn series. Ferrochemy starts coming into play towards the tail end of Book 1. And from then on, will sort of be a spoiler for, honestly, a lot of it. Ferrochemy comes really into its own in the second series. So, just a big warning there.
It becomes seen. I wouldn't say that it comes into its own. It's just, it's used by
How far into the second series are you?
Oh, I finished it and listened to it again.
The entire last book, well, Bands of Mourning functions entirely based on Ferrochemy.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about, second book of the first series. How there's we really only see it done by...
Shadows? It's Shadows of something.
Hang on. What is it called?
Because it's Alloy of Law.
It's not Shadows of Self. I'm talking about Mistborn, not Alloy of Law series.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that's why I said second series.
I thought I said... Did I say first series? I might not have actually said...
You sounded like you were correcting me on the second series.
Sorry. No, I was going to say, it's not really seen in the first series at all, as there's really only one character who uses Ferrochemy.
Sazed uses it in the first book.
Yes, but
you
get more of an explanation
you
towards
get
the
an,
end of
Yeah,
it.
You don't get an explanation of it until book two. And to a greater extent, book three. You get a little explanation in book one.
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, this will definitely get into spoiler territory, especially once we start talking about Hemalurgy, so if you're worried about spoilers, I'm sorry, this might not be for you. Do we want to talk about Hemalurgy first, just so that we can get the non-spoiler parts of Hemalurgy out of the way?
Sure, why not?
Okay, because we think Hemalurgy is going to be real, real quick.
Yeah.
So basic idea behind Hemalurgy is that it is the third... magic, or metal magic. And it's very, very different from the other two, because whereas, I don't remember the, there's sort of a math equation that we use to describe them, but that with Allomancy, your input and your output are always equal. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, your input always has a ratio to output.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Ferrochemy, the output that you do is based entirely off of your personal insert element or identity mm-hmm. or strength or whatever it is here.
Yes.
Like, really quickly, we'll go through the simple one, which is, I think it's Tin does eyesight?
Yeah.
Okay, so basic idea behind Ferrochemy is if you can store up your eyesight, so basically see really, really poorly inside and store it in a... You'll see really poorly, but you'll store that concentrated good eyesight inside...
Your metal mind.
Yeah, inside a tin mind. You mm-hmm. can then access that, and you take out the same amount that you put in, but you can access it in different amounts. So you can go
yes.
like, okay, I stored my eye, like I stored half of my eyesight for a week in there. So I can pull out a week's worth of half eyesight, and I can compress that down to being like, I can see amazingly for 10 seconds and
yeah.
probably see like nuclei if you really wanted to try.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could go like, I want to see like eyesight and a half for a week.
Yep.
And just like make it last. So it's,
You have to spend time without the attribute that you're storing up.
Yeah,
Ferrochemy, to be able to use that attribute later.
Ferrochemy, I think, is best described as like it's a zero sum equation.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing is gained or lost. In
yeah.
the same way that technically Allomancy, you are generally creating something from a little bit from like you're creating something for your body that your body couldn't naturally do itself.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Hemallergy is magic of loss.
Yes.
Effectively, what you end up... Because, one, to make it work best, you have to kill someone.
Yeah,
ideally,
that's the worst part.
Yeah. So, ideally, what you want to be doing for... I've now forgot... Hemallergy, sorry, I couldn't remember
yes.
the name. Is that you are driving a piece of metal into someone who has any sort of investiture, which
yes.
is the name of any kind of magic in all of the Cosmere, the like extended universe for
yes.
Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah.
This is why it's kind of important, because it doesn't just work on Skadriel's magic, it works on everyone else's magic too. But you drive a metal spike, ideally of like made out of a metal that specifically corresponds to whatever power you're trying to steal,
mm-hmm.
into a being, and kill them with it. That will then
yep.
Effectively store a portion of that being's power inside the spike.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to kill, say, a Seeker, someone who could burn bronze, you would store their ability to burn bronze inside that spike. You could
mm-hmm.
then put that spike into someone else.
And then they would have...
They would gain a portion of the ability to burn bronze. It's not...
It's not...
I don't think there's ever a ratio given, but it's effectively you aren't quite as good as someone who could do it, like the person who you took it from.
Oh, what is it called? It's, the Law of Hemallergic Decay. That
yeah.
is what it's called.
And there are ways to cut down the decay, specifically by if you... the longer that you carry around a spike... unimplanted, the more it drains. So usually
yeah.
the best way to eliminate decay is to have the person
this
who
is
you
the
want
gross
to
part.
Yeah, the person who yeah. you want to take the power from sitting like in some way like stationed directly above the person who you want to get the power, and you drive the spike straight through him into the guy on the bottom. So that in theory there's
yeah.
never a period of time where the person who you're taking the power from and the person who's getting the power don't both have the spike in them and the person's dead. It's shitty
it's,
and creepy.
There's literally a scene of this happening.
There is, yeah.
And I listen to it and I'm like, oh.
So this is where we're going to start getting creepy, because creepy and spoilery, because going in, this is how the Inquisitors are made.
Yep.
Inquisitors basically, ideally, what they try and do with most of them is that they find someone who can natively burn bronze, so someone mm-hmm. who's a seeker, and then they give them one spike for every metal.
Yes.
So effectively, they have about one, it's probably something around like 1.75 times the ability to burn bronze than mm-hmm. a normal seeker, which is what they require to be able to pierce a copper cloud.
Yes.
So basically, that's the whole idea, is that they're trying to make, they're making, it, the Lord Ruler was creating these Inquisitors that he could control
mm-hmm.
and that were subservient to him. Like, he physically, mentally controlled them through the spikes. I don't actually remember if they established how, but, like, he does have direct control over them. That can pierce copper clouds and can always be on the lookout for more Allomancers.
Mm-hmm. Because...
yeah. So
both as, like, Allomancers we can spike, and those that should not exist.
Yeah. So the whole basic idea is just that Hemalurgy, well, in itself probably won't be seen a whole lot, since it's been sort of pushed to the side on Skadriel, because it's kind of barbaric and requires murdering people.
Yep.
It does allow for the transmission of all kinds of investiture across all of the Cosmere. So,
ooh, that should be interesting.
Yeah, like, there are characters who are particularly interested in it, because they're just like, something about the way that they're able to analyze it, they just went, this doesn't just work on allomantic and ferrochemical powers, I'm pretty sure this will work on everything. The one issue is that if you were to, say, stake a Mistborn, you'd still only get one power.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get all of them. So that's why you need to try and use, like, the specific, like, a tool made out of a specific metal that has a deep connection with whatever power you're trying to get. On this planet, that's a lot easier, because you just go, oh yeah, I want your eyesight, so that's way easier. Like, remember, okay, I need to stab you with a tin spike.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy, but yeah.
It's kind of terrible. Apparently there's also the placement matters of the spike.
The placement matters to some extent.
Yeah.
That was never quite super well explained, but it seems like close to certain body parts will increase the will decrease the law of decay depending on where it's placed. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
kind of rough.
Also, this is really heavy spoilers. So basic idea. Ferrochemy is a weird combination of magic from ruin and preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Allomancy is from preservation. Or no, sorry. That's right.
Yeah, and you're good.
Yeah, and Hemalurgy
is ruin.
Hemalurgy is distinctly from ruin, which is why it has the law of decay attached. He can take direct control of anyone with a certain amount of spikes in them, or someone who's got a weak mind and very few spikes in them.
Yeah, basically if you're... I'm trying to figure out how spoilery I can get with this. Basically, if you're pierced by metal, you're open to ruin's influence.
Yes, even if it... So in some cases, it might just be a whisper in your head. In some cases, it might just be straight up, nah, he's got actual control over you. Like, as soon as the Lord Ruler died, the Inquisitors basically all immediately fell to him.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Koloss, because they've got four?
I don't remember how many they have. I know Chondra have two.
Yeah, Chondra have two. And so
blessings that's why, in their shoulders.
Yeah, that's why I think it's the Koloss have four.
Okay, it is. It's, yes. Yeah. Yes, they have four. And that's actually how their mate is there.
Yeah. So that's the other thing, is that Hemalurgy can be used to basically empower... The Lord Ruler used Hemalurgy to create new life forms. Mm-hmm. So he created the Koloss, which are his massive, like, terrifying brutish monsters. They are human beings that have been spiked four times.
With iron.
With iron. And basically, to be fair, each one of those has to be, like, used to kill a person. Then what it pretty much amounts to is they don't kill Allomancers for those. They just kill a normal dude and put them into another person, so that person ends up with the power but not the brains of four other human beings.
Yes.
So what ends up happening is that they just grow and grow and grow until they their skin actually just tears apart from them. They're also incredibly violent, and the one thing that they've ever learned how to do is how to make more of them, which is to say spike corpses or the barely living from a battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the whole point is, like, once the Lord Ruler died, there was no one making the spikes for them, so they had to figure out how to reproduce themselves.
Well, it seems like they figured that out beforehand as well.
Yeah.
The other one are the Chondra, which are the sort of shapeshifters. They are, all of them are the original Terrace folk, right?
The first generation.
Yeah.
First generation. So Terrace are, they kind of, are not bleh, words. The Chondra are broken down into kind of generations.
Yeah,
first generation were the Lord Ruler's buddies.
They were the Terrace folk who he couldn't trust to not. One, they were his friends, so he didn't want to kill them, but they were also the people who he couldn't trust to become Allomancers and, like, not blab anything, so he gave them a much more important job, which is to say, harvesting everything that remained of Ruin's body. So, I've forgotten the name. Atrium. Atium.
Atium.
Ours. but yes.
It's okay.
So every 100 years or so, they would found a new generation, where the Lord Ruler would give them an amount of spikes, and they would be paired together, and they would make new Chondra. I don't know. I don't think it was ever established how exactly the spikes were specifically made.
Yeah.
But to make them into Chondra spikes, but they would then place two
spike
into
a Mistwraith.
Yeah, they would spike a Mistwraith, which is a naturally occurring other being on the planet, and. Mm-hmm. One would give the first spike would give them intelligence, and the second spike would give them a blessing. So they would get something like a blessing of, I remember there's like blessing of speed and blessing of power.
There's awareness, potence. I'm pulling these up right now because I could only remember potency. It's awareness, potency, presence, and stability. Awareness is it's kind of similar to Allomantic metals. So tin spikes are increased. Senses, so like Allomantic tin.
Yeah.
Potency is strength. Presence is copper, so you get increased mental capability.
Oh, okay.
And then the blessing of stability, which is zinc spikes, so emotional fortitude.
Oh, okay. And they probably could use any of the other metals as well, but it was never explored, so.
Apparently they can gain Allomancy. By burning Loracium, which...
Well, any sentient being can burn Loracium to gain Allomancy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are kind of the things that you can do with Hemalurgy.
Hemalurgy.
In the second series, Hemalurgy also plays a bit of a part, since Harmony is a combination of both Ruin and Preservation.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who has a Hemalurgic Spike, he is able to speak with directly. So while being this theoretic,
less control, but more like
he tries not to do control. In theory, yes, if something had enough spikes, he could control it.
But he's a good Harmony's a good person, or tries to be. He tries to make.
To be fair, Harmony tries to be neutral.
Yeah.
The idea though is that there is a church that very specifically follows Harmony, and members who become, I'm going to charitably say, useful to Harmony. Are often gifted with spikes that they don't realize are hemallergic spikes.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just tradition that they wear a like spike earring.
Yeah, single spike earring.
Some of them are given ones that are actually anointed hemallergic spikes.
Yeah,
because he feels that they are going to be useful people who he may need to call on as agent is a strong word because usually it's just like. I feel like God is talking to me. That's weird. I should probably do what he says, or I might be nuts, but like that's why he gives specific people spikes.
Yes.
Or has the remaining Chondra give them spikes, but yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, moving on to Ferrochemy. Do we just want to do like the back and forth we did last time?
Yeah, I think that will be good. We've kind of given we've explained the basics of Farrakumi with kind of the investiture behind Farrakumi.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about the ferrochemical metals. Do you want to take physical to start with?
Yeah, I'm just trying to see physical if there's... Metals? There we go. I was trying to find a way to zoom in. There we go.
Yeah. Okay.
So these are all going to be the exact same metals that Allomancy can use because it's this basic rule of 16 that exists on Skadriel. Mm-hmm. So iron is... Sorry, I forgot to mention the important part that is, like I said, we start to learn a lot more about Farrakumi as we move into the second series. So this is going to be spoilers for the second series. It also means
that... You have been warned.
Yes. It also means that we start having to deal with fairings, which are the ferrochemical version of a misting. The blood has become so diluted that at this point, there are people who just have one ferrochemical ability. So Wax from the second series is a iron fairing known as a skimmer. Mm-hmm. They can store physical weight in an iron metal mind, which effectively reduces their weight, though it doesn't seem to affect their density, so that's a little bit weird. Honestly, looking at the way that Stormlight refers to this, it's most likely they are storing their spiritual connection to, which is the Cosmere way of putting it, but basically storing away their connection to gravity for an amount of time. So they're effectively being affected by less and less of gravity. The way that Wax describes it is that after a while, he's usually going around on about 50% of his normal weight.
Anywhere from like 50 to 75, he can constantly store.
Yeah, anything lower than 50 and it's just like, it's actually too light and I can't walk like a normal human being.
he can float away.
But yeah, and he's constantly storing it up so that he... that's the other weird thing, is that it seems that upping your... because you can then, like, stop storing it and start using your stored up weight. Upping it does seem to affect your density to some degree, in that you're able to not be... Like, a thing he does at one point very early on is basically just, like, up his density to just fall through a wooden floor that can no longer handle his increased weight.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't usually hurt him.
No.
It's one of those things where he has to be kind of careful about it, though. It's very strange. And as you get into the series, there's also interactions apparently innate to the fact that he... has a ferrochemical power and a allomantic power that sort of interact. So even though, according to basic physics, just decreasing his weight shouldn't make it easier for him to go, like, faster when he's being a coin shot, it does, because there are strange interactions that aren't understood by the way that they're interpreting physics.
Yeah, but, that's one that, like, it's almost... With that, it almost... feels like they keep substituting like weight and affect gravity.
I'm relatively certain that because of the way that another power works in Stormlight, that it's people saying weight and what they actually mean is gravity.
Yeah.
And it's just that they don't have a word for that.
Yeah.
Just because there are powers in Stormlight that... okay, it's one of the most basic powers. It's called a lashing, where people are basically able to change the way that gravity is currently affecting them. Mm-hmm. So two different...
The way you're attached to the ground.
Yeah,
like being lashed to the ground. Oh, yeah.
So two different groups are capable of controlling lashings, and they are both described as being able to fly, but they don't fly. What they basically do is that they... establish that they're able to just go like, okay, I am going to lash myself so that instead of gravity treating this is up, I'm for my specific body, I'm going to treat that as that as down. So they start falling in that direction. So
yes.
If they work on it, if they get very good at it, they can go like, yeah, okay, so I can do like a half lashing up that makes me effectively weightless. or they can do lashings in different... Basically, they have to lash themselves in different directions to alter the way they fly. So I'm thinking that iron is similar to that, where it's just a fundamental change of how much gravity is directly affecting that being.
Okay, that makes more sense. That's kind of, like, as I was listening to it, I was like, okay, so that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But
I think that there is some amount of, like, preservational power, so that iron, like, increasing your own weight by too much doesn't crush you.
Mm-hmm. It just crushes like what you're above.
Yeah, it seems like it's how... It's less your connection to gravity and your effect, like how much gravity affects the things below you, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's definitely very niche. And it's, of all the powers, I think it's probably the most hand wavy.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, that went on way longer than I meant to on iron. Because iron is kind of complex, no, I'm sorry.
It is. And the fact that we see it being used a lot in the second series because the main character can use iron as a ferrochemical metal.
Yeah.
You get a lot of exposure to it.
Yeah.
Also, the light from Skylar is just like, hello, sunshine on my hair. It's weird.
Do you have, like, anyways, a large hat?
Yes, but it would it would cast everything into shadow from down below.
Well, then you want to take steel?
Sure. So steel is physical speed. So you can store up your physical speed in a steel metal mind, slowing them while actively storing, and can tap it at later time to increase their speed. So in the Mistborn series, a character describes. So Sazed he describes it a little bit, where it feels like he's kind of moving through molasses, like every step is an effort. While he's storing up his steel, and he has to exist in that kind of moving through molasses, like something is, like, you can't move quickly.
Yeah.
To be able to have enough steel stored up
to be actually enough, useful.
Yeah, to actually be able to, like, run for a distance, like move quickly. So, like, if you need to run somewhere really fast, you would need to store up a bunch of slow days where you can't really move very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that one...
Steel's pretty easy and obvious to understand, honestly.
Yeah, it is. It's that one doesn't need too much more explanation than that.
Yeah, and we sort of already covered tin.
It's the senses, essentially. Yeah,
tin is not the senses. Tin is very specific... Well, okay, sort of. Tin, wind whispers, as they're called, fairings, can store up a sense in a tin mind. So we didn't establish this, but Sazed wears just rings that each contain one of the metals that he needs to store things in.
Mm-hmm.
Although I believe because of the period that he lived in, what he actually has is, like, he's got copper bracers because he stores a lot of mental things. Mm-hmm. And then he basically has, like, one ring for each of the...
Five senses.
Well, he's got one tin ring for each of the five senses, and then on the other hand, he's just got one ring for every other thing, because they didn't know about all the metals at the time. So he had, like, one iron, one steel, one tin, or one pewter. I don't actually know if he had zinc, brass, or bronze ones. But
I think he did have brass, because in the second book, he talks about being warm without wearing his robes.
Okay, yeah. So he probably, I don't know if he wore them all the time, but yeah, and then he had one tin one for each sense. So yeah, mm-hmm. the downside of tin is that you have to have individual metal mines, so store it, because you can't store scent,
all the senses,
like scent and sight in one, so you have to store them separately. But otherwise, it's basically the same. They can store up a sense by losing the ability to use that one for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think eventually, isn't there a point where, this is, again, spoilers, in, what is it, book three? Book two. Sazed ends up with, like, a whole bunch of his rings, like, forced into his body because an Inquisitor was a jackass.
Yeah, that's towards the end of
towards
book
the end of two.
Two,
yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, final stuff happening in book two, if I remember correctly.
I believe so, yeah. But yeah, basic idea is that tin, you store up an individual sense and then can tap that individual sense later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then pewter. So brute fairings can store physical strength in a pewter metal mine, reducing their strength while actively storing, and can tap at a later time to increase their strength. Basically, you spend a bunch of time super, super weak. You can then spend a bunch of time super strong. And that with pewter, it actually affects your muscles.
Yes. Like yeah. With a lot of these, there are physical changes, like your body adapts to create, to enable that thing. So with pewter, it's very obvious. Like when you are weak, you are visibly much weaker. But as soon as
like
you're tapping
emaciated.
Like when you're tapping that metal mine, though, they will turn into like massive hulking bodybuilding brutes if they're tapping it hard enough.
Yes.
So next, I think we should head over to the cognitive.
Yes.
So cognitive, spiritual, then hybrid?
Works for me. I was thinking, that's kind of the direction I was thinking.
Okay. So like I said, this is also a thing that establishes throughout the Cosmere. We've got physical powers, cognitive, and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we see more stuff in later Cosmere things, most of this power comes from an interaction between spiritual, mental, or cognitive and spiritual and physical. God damn it. I can't words. So up first is zinc. Sparker fairings can store mental speed in a zinc metal mine. So effectively, they don't so much become dumber as just sort of like slower and less witty and just kind of dull and flat.
It sounds like almost when my ADHD is really bad and I can't quite put things together quick enough to match what I'm trying to say. And it just, things aren't lining up.
Yeah, that's probably relatively accurate. And the other side of it being when your mouth probably can't keep up with, tapping
your
into
brain.
Zinc metal mind is when you're just, you're trying to keep up with the thoughts that are trying to express themselves out of your mind, and it just doesn't quite work, which I have an issue with at times.
This is one of those ones that I'm like, oh, that would be really unpleasant to be storing it.
Ones that seems unpleasant to store and unpleasant to tap.
Yeah.
Because inevitably it means that you're going through a whole bunch of different, like, thoughts and permutations of ideas and going like, I can't communicate this well!
Like, the time I could think that this would be a useful ferrochemical ability is imagine being in the middle of a battle where you have to think quickly.
Oh, no. Sorry.
That would be amazing.
I think this would, in general, be wonderful to burn, but at the same time kind of annoying if you're in any way trying to communicate with another human being, because you'd be going like, okay, look, I've got these thoughts, and I've thought this whole thing through, but I can't really explain it to you very easily right now. Give me, like,
no matchup.
10 minutes to write this down, and it'll make more sense.
Exactly. So that one's kind of, I feel like that would be one of the more frustrating ones to store and use.
Yeah.
But the next one is brass. So I think it's fire soul. That's the word that they use for it. Fire soul fairings can store warmth in a brass metal mine, cooling themselves while actively storing. They can tap the metal mine at a later time to warm themselves. Imagine this in the middle of summer. That would be amazing.
This is probably the most niche one, but the one that I'm just like, yeah, no, I could use this all the fucking time. Please?
Yep.
Please?
Yep. Imagine, oh, God, it would be so useful.
Yeah.
Though this actually gets used, actually, third book of Alloy of Law.
Yes, it does, because the other race of human beings living on Skadriel are much more adapted for warm climates. Yeah. So they desperately need warmth. So,
then
we've got
copper,
which was considered the most important because the Terrace people had their sort of organization of keepers. They were a secret organization whose entire purpose was basically that they were trying to keep ferrochemy in existence in the Terrace people, because the Terrace people were selectively bred by the Lord Rulers, I don't remember who worked for the Lord Ruler that did the breeding, but basically there was an established breeding program trying to, without wiping out the Terrace, eliminate ferrochemy from their bloodlines. Mm-hmm. The Keepers, meanwhile, were the established group who had Ferrokemi, were trying to keep it going, and had a large array of copper metal mines where they would store all the knowledge of the old Skadrail before the Lord Ruler.
So a really good way to subjugate a population is to destroy written records of what a time was before.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. So like when the Lord Ruler came to power, he effectively just started trying to destroy knowledge about the time before the Lord Ruler, because the Lord Ruler is eternal and all-powerful and all that jazz. So
admittedly, he did have reasons for it.
He did,
just
but...
went about it in kind of a fascist dickbag way.
Oh, totally. He didn't have any knowledge of why this is a terrible idea. But that's kind of why the terrorists who were part of the...
The terrorist keepers group.
Yeah, the terrorist keepers became so important is they had the knowledge of what the world was like before the Lord Ruler came to power.
So once the Lord Ruler passed away, they spent a lot of their time, actually they spent basically all of their time, rather unsuccessfully, mostly because the world was dying, trying to go around and teaching people about, like, yeah, here's how you do agriculture. And here's these, like, old dead religions. Maybe some of these speak to you. Here's, like, all these other things that we can teach you from the past. Unfortunately, it didn't really help when it's just like, the world is literally dying. You are not helping that much.
Yeah, it's like, this would have been totally great if the world wasn't dying. This would have been so useful.
And it ended up being useful because Seizu...
It totally did.
Okay, again, heavy spoilers, just in case anyone...
Big spoiler.
This is a spoiler for the very end of all of the first Mistborn series.
Yes.
Sazed, because he eventually figured out the tertiary meaning to the...
this prophecy.
To the prophecy of the Hero of Ages, figured out that, so you know how we tried to make that excuse that, like, yeah, the Hero of Ages is a guy because it has this, like... word, and he went back to the original record, I think in his metal mines, to establish that, no, the pronoun it's using here is an old terrorist word that actually means no gender.
Yep, it's almost like using they.
Because a lot of the male terrorists who went to become stewards were eunuchs. And that includes Sazed himself.
Add that to the list of issues with selective breeding programs.
Yeah. He realized that, that could apply to, like, someone like me, and realized that, well, there's that line about bracers on his arms, because...
He has the world on his arms, or something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that, and he was like, wait a second, here I've got these copper mines that have the sum of all human knowledge! So, it was basically like he... tapped everything inside the copper mines, took up the power of ruin and preservation at the same time, and used the sum of all human knowledge to mostly fix the planet? He created some issues in that he made an area that was too good, so no one would want to leave it, but that's its own issue.
Yeah, and then the area down south that was not affected...
he didn't affect it because he looked at it and was like, oh, that area is totally fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that gets into some stuff that even try and parse some of the stuff from the second series until it's done. Because there's one more book in the second series.
Do we have a release date for that? I keep looking for one and I'm like,
No, because he works on one book at a time and he relatively recently released Oathbringer. So I don't know what's coming out next, but I don't believe it's the next Mistborn book.
I know. I actually re-listened to Bands of Mourning, which is the third book in the second series.
Yeah.
Just because it was such a good book. It was such a fun book to listen to. One thing I will say is there's some really great character arcs in that series. Love it. I love the character arcs in that series. But I was listening to it and I was like, oh, this is such a good book. When is the next one coming out? and no release date. That's so sad.
Okay, let's see here.
Okay, back to...
Well, no, I'm pulled up his own website.
Because I think he also released something in one of his other series, too.
So that's always the issue, is that he's got the Cosmere series, but then he's also got, let's see here.
There's the Rhythmatist series.
Yeah, there's, okay, so quick rundown. There's Starlight Archive, Mistborn, Elantris, which eventually is supposed to get a sequel, Warbreaker, which eventually is supposed to get a sequel, though some of his characters have already returned in Starlight, the Rhythmatist, Alcatraz versus the Evil Librarians, Legion, he did the Infinity Blade books, I guess. He finished what's-his-name's Wheel of Time series. Well, that one's done.
Yeah, so that's... But that was someone else's book.
He's got the Steelheart series, whose name I can't actually remember. The Reckoners, that's it. White Sand, which I always forget about, honestly. Which is a graphic novel series. And now, he just announced Did he just announce? I think he just announced this new one. Another young adult series. Skyward.
Wait, what?
What?
This might be an old one. Expected publication October 18th, 2018?
Of...
Wait, what? Of The Lost Metal, last one.
Oh, maybe. I mean, that's probably an expected publication, but I don't know when it actually is.
Release date. Fall of 2019 is the tentative most recent thing that I'm able to find. So, next year, next fall. Yeah, and that's tentative on the wiki.
Okay. I was just seeing if he had anything on his website, but...
He's got a lot on his website.
Well, yes, but he usually does, like, updates about when things are coming out, and I wasn't sure if he had any of those. So, it was worth trying.
Yeah, so it looks like we have to wait about a year and a half for this one.
I thought you said it was 18.
So I did a Google search. One thing on Goodreads was 2018, and then when I went onto the wiki, which was updated more recently, it looks like fall of 2019 is the next release date. The most recent.
Okay.
But, yeah, we're looking forward to this last book.
And then the third series.
Yes, which probably will take even longer. Apparently he has two more series planned set in this kind of world.
<Damn it. laughs> So I went to go... Well, no, he's got one more series planned because originally he was calling what's currently referred to as Series 2 Series 1.5. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is hilarious. The first one that comes up if I search for upcoming release dates are... upcoming books by Brandon Sanderson from October 16, 2007. July 2007, Mistborn. August 2007, Mistborn 2. October 2007, Alcatraz versus the Evil Librarians. May 2008, Mistborn 3. Fall 2008, Alcatraz 2. May 2009, Warbreaker. Fall 2009, Alcatraz 3. January 2010, Warbreaker 2. That never happened. August 2010, Lyre of Partanelle, Dragonsteel 1. That hasn't happened yet. Dragonsteel hasn't even started yet. Fall 2010, Alcatraz 4. I don't know anything about Alcatraz, so maybe. And May 2011, Dragonsteel 2.
That hasn't happened.
Nope. I was trying to see if he had, like, a fucking up-to-date one. And I thought he did.
It doesn't look like it.
Well, here's the one for State of It 2017. That's the Oathbringer tour. Okay. So yes, updates on main projects. Writing outline for book 4 of Stormlight. Mistborn next book is to be written in 2018. Skyward to be written in 2018. Secondary projects. Legion series is finished. Publication in late 2018. Alcatraz next book is outlined to be written in 2018. Elantris and Warbreaker. Keep waiting. Sorry. White Sand, graphic novel 2 coming in early 2018. That's now happened. Rhythmatist, not yet, we'll see. Update on minor projects. Reckoners, trilogy complete, series done for now. Adamant, still possible in the near future. Don't even know what these ones are. The Dark One, like Harry Potter, but from Voldemort's viewpoint. Wow, I haven't heard of that one. Exciting developments in the work. Death by Pizza. Pizza delivery man becomes a necromancer.
What?
My perpetual list of things to do, no movement. Soul Burner, random space opera thing I worked on for a while, no movement. Potential Cosmere storylines, Dragonsteel / Lyre of Partnell. Hoid's origin story to be written sometime after Stormlight is done. Sixth of Dusk. Ooh, I can't wait for that one, because that one's... Sixth of Dusk is the dude that is from the planet where the magic is based on birds.
Okay, so there is going to be something with that.
Yeah, I had plenty of cool idea for this last year, nothing more than that. Untitled Silverlight novella. Silverlight, I think, is another one of the Cosmere ones. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, these are all Cosmere, sorry. Felindy novel, I don't know what that one is. An expedition to confront the evil that destroyed the old world. Oh, I do remember that. It's, that's the one where there just isn't even any magic, it's just that people's ghosts stick around, and they're evil and insane, and they're all hiding on a different, they're all on a different continent because something bad happened on their home continent.
Mm-hmm.
Aether of Night, still in the Cosmere, but you can see the old remnant, and you can see the old remnant of an Aether popping up here and there, bound to be drastically different from the unpublished novel, which I allow the 17th Shard to give out to people who request it on their forums. Basically, the only thing that is canon is the magic system. Silence Divine, disease magic novella set on Ashin. Don't know that one. Mistborn and Stormlight films. These rights are held by DMG Entertainment. So they're being worked on. Reckoner's film and TV show apparently also being worked on by Fox. Snapshot, which is his weird cyberpunk detective story. Yep, that's pretty much everything. Oh, projected okay. Schedule. Sorry, I finally found the thing we were actually here looking for.
we have hopped the tangent train.
Yep, sorry.
It happens.
Note that these are always very speculative, and Peter is already worried about Stormlight 4 being on time. So,
just anyone who's like tuned in, like, oh, they've done something again.
Yeah,
we hop the tangent train on a really regular basis.
So, just before I even start reading this, my projected publication schedule looking forward swaps the Apocalypse Guard out for Skyward and moves the Legion collection into the place Wax and Wayne 4 was in. So September 2018, Steve Lead / Legion collection. November 2018, Skyward. Fall 2019, Wax and Wane 4. Sometime 2019, Skyward 2. Sometime 2020, Stormlight 4. Sometime 2020, Skyward 3. Which, of course, requires that he actually, write Stormlight 4, and if he's going to stick with his current policy of making it almost twice as long as the last book... And now I have to cut there because I said ass before.
You also said shit before.
I don't care that much.
Anyways, we've stopped caring.
Yeah. No, I'm still going to cut that last one out because that's why I had to cut the recording. But yeah. So it's going to... So the issue with Stormlight books is that every one is usually about twice as long as the last one, so they take forever.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the first one is what is that, 46 hours of audiobook?
I thought the first one was only 20-something.
When I pulled it up, it said 46 hours, so it's long. And anyways, 20-something hours for an audiobook is long anyways, just to begin with.
I'm going to check the books. Do you want to read Bronze? Because we finished Copper, and then I just kept rambling.
We got distracted real easy. Okay, Bronze. So we talked about this one just a smidge. So these are Sentry Fairings. We didn't talk about Bronze. We talked about Brass. So Sentry Fairings can store wakefulness in bronze metal mines, making themselves drowsy while actively storing. They can tap the metal mine later to reduce drowsiness or to heighten their awareness. That would be so useful during finals.
That would be.
Seriously, just like... Think about, oh my god, store it on a Sunday when it's a slow day anyways. Just...
Okay, hang on, sorry, I checked. I apparently was wrong, and they're not actually that much longer. Way of Kings, at least, so this is based on audiobook length, is 45 hours and 37 minutes. Words of Radiance is 48 hours and 12 minutes. And Oathbringer is 55 hours and 4 minutes.
Holy crap.
Also, that's Arcanum long. Unbounded, the Cosmere Collection, is 22 hours and 31 minutes.
Yay, audiobooks.
I'm looking really quickly. The shortest audiobook I have of a Brandon Sanderson anything is The Cosmere Collection. The next shortest, I think, is Warbreaker at 24 hours and 56 minutes. He does not do short books.
No, he doesn't. He does not. Honestly, when it only takes me like 3 days to listen to a book, I'm like, oh, that seems kind of short now.
Yeah, because you've gotten used to Sanderson.
Yeah.
It's the best part about Sanderson. I could listen to them for
like
a week.
Hour.
Yeah, I could listen to them for a week at work. It was so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, actually, so I think that wraps up cognitive. So with bronze is wakefulness.
Okay, so we'll run down to spiritual.
Yes, which
just a warning: the spiritual and hybrid start getting weird, like really weird.
Like these are not part of the.
The original those eight that we read were the only ones that they knew about in the first series.
Yes. So, and we don't see some of these in the second series that much.
Well, let's go through them. So first up, we've got chromium. Spinner fairings can store fortune in a chromium metal mine, making themselves unlucky during the active storage, and can tap it at a later time to increase their luck. That would be amazing!
And awful.
I mean, yeah, but it's one of those things where I'd probably just want to store it while I was doing nothing particularly useful.
Like, yeah?
Try and store, like just go whole hog, like, I have no good luck, and store it when I'm doing absolutely nothing. So that I can just sort of, like, siphon it off in drips and drabs. Which one's... Is chromium the awful one for elemancy?
Where you can, like, if you touch it, you can drain the elemantic...
No. Because that's... is that chromium?
That is chromium.
Oh, that's actually way less bad. So I think we established last time, but let's refresh that. There's a thing that anyone who can burn an elemantic metal and...
And use a ferrochemical metal is a twinborn.
And if they are a twinborn that uses the same metal for both of them, they can do what's called compounding, where...
Which is super strong.
So basically what happens is that they can store X amount of whatever resource it is in their metal mind, and if the metal mind is inside their body, they can also then burn that power and get about 10 times the benefit out of it. So, if you were a the compounding chromium twinborn, that would be amazing. It's just like, I always have awesome luck forever and always.
Pretty much.
That just sounds hilarious.
Pretty much. It just, oh god. I think of how, like, I wouldn't say that I'm unlucky. I just tend to have weird stuff happen.
Same. But that's one of those things where, God, compounding it would probably be amazing. And it would probably be some sort of, like, controlled substance of, like, no, you are not allowed in this gambling hall. Go away.
Honestly, case in point this weekend, me pulling a shelf down by accident.
That was impressive.
Out of a wall.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know my own strength.
To be fair, it wasn't a particularly strong wall, but
yeah. No, but the fact that I pulled it out of the wall completely was great. Anyways, let's move on, shall we?
Yes.
Chromium. So we're on to Nycrosil.
Yeah.
So
like said, these get weird.
Yeah. Soul beater fairings can
soul
store
bearer.
Invest. Okay, so I with where I have it zoomed in, it looks like an T versus an R.
Yeah, understood.
So soul bearer fairings can store investiture in an Nycrosil metal mine. This is a power that very few know anything about. Even the people of Terrace don't truly know what they are doing when they use these powers.
So this is a thing that starts happening in book 3 of the Wax and Wane series because there is a group of people who have basically, through a combination of aluminum, Nycrosil, and is it Duralumin? Have basically been able to figure out a way to create metal mines that anyone can use and that function very effectively as Basically, they work in a way to make, like, a magical artifice. It's a thing that lets other people use powers that they normally wouldn't have.
Yes.
Which is part of what the Bands of Mourning is all about, is basically someone trying to find the Bands of Mourning, which they think are the bracers that the Lord Ruler made for himself that, like, entered into his skin, and mm-hmm. that he had charged every single kind of ferrochemie into, and because that would be aluminum and duralumin, it means that anyone, even a non-allomancer, non-ferrochemist, would be able to use it. And in theory, having them would enable people to make more of these metal mines that combine multiple metals and let other people use other powers. The issue is that apparently using more than three metals at once is a bit difficult.
Yes. So, yeah, honestly, all the spiritual metals are just like...
Yeah, they get very strange. So yeah,
they're really weird.
Aluminum. The true self Faring can store their spiritual sense of identity in an aluminum metal mind. This is an art rarely spoken of outside of terrorist communities, and even among them, it's not understood. If I remember correctly, what they basically do is they can store their identity in one metal mind, so that then... it's really janky. But basically, the way that ferrochemical items work is that you can't use it if it's not bound to your identity.
Yeah.
So if you have aluminum, you can store your identity and then go make something that isn't attached to your identity, basically.
Yes.
So other people could then use it. So you need aluminum in combination with something else, but still.
But at this point in the series, you can't... People really only will only have, like, one ferrochemical or one allomantic.
Also, no one understands, except for, like, this one very select group of people, no one understands aluminum nitrosyl or duralumin, really.
Yeah. It's... This is the part, this is the stuff that we really hope, I want to be explored in the fourth book.
So you also then, well, I mean, they start exploring it in the third book.
They do a little bit, but not a huge amount.
I mean.
I want to see it used more.
Yeah,
more
well, this is how all technology in the southern area works, is off of those three. You should also then go to the... Cosmere Collection, because that has a thing about the Bands of Mourning as well, and who they actually belong to.
Because
it wasn't the Lord Ruler. Yeah.
I don't... So if any... I don't know if this episode's gonna have a video element to it, but...
I mean, it does. They all do.
My eyes just went...
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so they weren't actually the Lord Ruler's Bands of Mourning.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah. This is,
I always love having more stuff to read. More rabbit holes to dive down to. So
up next we've got the hybrid one. Oh, wait, no, did you do Duralumin?
I have not done Duralumin yet.
Sorry, Duralumin is so similar to aluminum. I was just like, yep, done, move on.
That's okay.
Sorry.
So this is Duralumin. Connector fairings can store spiritual connection in a Duralumin metal mine, reducing other people's awareness and friendship with them, and can tap it in order to speedily form trust relationships with others.
If I remember correctly, Duralumin is basically used as the, it's like a translation metal.
Mm-hmm.
The character who... they're all dealing with in the third book, who comes from the southern state.
Alec! He's fun.
Has, it's apparently sort of tied to the land that you're on as well, to sort of remind people of the location-based investiture from Cell. where basically, since he's the visitor, he has to be wearing a Duralumin metal mind. And it enables him to speak and understand that, or to speak and understand the language that is native to the people he's trying to talk to.
Yes.
So it's weird, but kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So over to the hybrids. Cadmium, or referred to as Gasper fairings, can store breath inside a cadmium metal mind until active. Basically, they have to breathe a whole lot of extra to make up for it. And if they are pulling metal energy out of it, then they don't need to breathe. It's basically that easy.
Yep.
The hybrid ones tend to be a lot of, like, physical things.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
So, I can't actually see what that first word is for Bendeloy. It's sub...
Subsumer.
Okay, subsumer fairings can store nutrition and calories in a Bendeloy metal mind. They can eat large amounts of food during active storage without feeling full or gaining weight, and then they can go without the need to eat later.
Yeah, this one also seems pretty sweet.
Yeah, pretty useful.
Yeah.
Honestly, what I would do with the cadmium one, if you were any sort of, like, underwater explorer, that would be, like, so useful.
Yeah.
So useful.
So up next, we've got gold. Gold is the most powerful one and is actually what enabled the Lord Ruler to function, because he could compound.
Mm-hmm.
Bloodmaker fairings can store health in a gold metal mind, reducing their health while actively storing, and can tap it at a later time in order to heal quickly or heal beyond the body's usual abilities, like that time that he got burned down to a skeleton and then proceeded mm-hmm. to heal as he stabbed someone.
Yep. And then we see this one a lot with one of the... I guess I would call Wayne, like, the main secondary character.
I mean, this series is called the Wax and Wayne. Wayne series.
So he's one of the other main protagonists.
Wayne is a bloodmaker and a Bendeloy...
He's a slider.
Bendeloy misting.
Yes.
So he makes blood and he can create a time bubble.
Yep. And he is annoyed by, like, he hates having this when he has to store it, because you're basically, like, sickly.
Yeah.
You are sickly the entire time.
Yeah, it basically, like, removes your body's ability to fight infections.
Mm-hmm. Or heal.
Yeah, or heal, like, cuts or scratches or anything minor.
So you're basically, like, just stuck in bed.
If you've read Elantris, if you're storing all of it up, it's like being an Elantrian. Like, they have a really shitty thing where, before they fixed Elantris, if they were to, like, stub their toe, it never stops hurting.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's, I don't like that.
Like, that's just a warning, awful. If anyone's going to read Elantris, it's one, it has some issues because it was the first book that Sanderson ever got published. It also gets really dark when you deal with the Elantrians, who technically don't need to eat or drink water because they're basically kind of dead. But you also have to deal with the fact that, yeah, anytime they do, like, anything, it always ends poorly. It's just like, yeah, I stepped wrong, and I sort of, like, rolled my ankle a little bit. Now I get to deal with that for the rest of all eternity.
That's annoying. Think about being a child and all the injuries you can, like...
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the things, is a lot of people who lived in Elantris just eventually went insane. Because they also, while they don't need to eat, they get hungrier and hungrier. So, eventually most of them just snap. Or, like, they get a broken bone and the pain never fades, so they just, like, go mad crying in a gutter.
Oh, that's awful.
Elantris is really, really dark.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's stupid.
Yeah.
All right. Last hybrid metal is Electrum. So pinnacle fairings can store determination in an Electrum metal mind, entering a depressed state during active storage, and can tap it at a later time to enter a manic phase.
That seems unhelpful and kind of shitty.
That, I would want that one least.
I mean, I guess you could try and use it to sort of counteract your own mental issues, but that doesn't sound fun.
But it just sounds like the thing is, to store it, you have to be depressed.
Yeah.
And spend your time depressed.
Yeah,
and
but I'm saying that you could store it to counteract being actively manic and burn it to counteract being depressed. Like, try and use it to balance.
I don't know. In my mind, it's like the trough. I don't know if the troughs are going to be worth the peaks. Because you just have to be uber depressed to store.
Well,
that sounds terrible.
Well, remember that you don't have to store everything.
Yeah.
You can just skim a bit off the top.
Electrum, I think, is the one that I would want the least.
Probably, yeah.
out of all of these medals.
Technically, there's the god medals. It's hypothesized that if one could make metal mines out of the god medals, other abilities could be discovered, but they're no longer widely available or even available in alloys. So
there's no god medals to really be used.
Yeah, so the god medals were Atium and Laracium. Atium being the one that that was the body of ruin, Laracium mm-hmm. being the body of preservation. We don't actually... Atium didn't seem to give any specific power in itself, since Ruin's power was Hemalurgy, and mm-hmm. Laracium did give Allomancy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's all of the Allomantic, Ferrochemic, and Hemalurgic.
Yeah.
Down. We got through it eventually.
We did. I'm trying to see how long we have been going, and there's no easy way to check that on this.
At least an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, assuredly, yes.
I think we started recording around 9:30, because I was like, oh, wow, we were going to record at 8.
Yeah, and then we were lazy, and I needed to shower, and yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, okay, I have my tea. Drink the tea.
Do we want to talk about Dominaria at all, or do we want to just save that?
Let's save that, because then we'll be going back into Dominaria, I think, with our next episodes.
Okay. So, yeah, I gotta say, really quickly, though, I have been playing more Magic Arena, and while I still think there are significant issues, I'm enjoying it, if for no other reason than because the draft is a lot of fun. Like, it's just fun. I mean, I think drafting against AI is weird, but yeah. It's fun!
And I went to my first pre-release ever in a card shop.
Yay!
It was fun. It was real fun. And I think we actually might... Do you want to talk about that on the end in, like, our...
No. I mean, we should talk about it here. We should give, like, a brief thing here. I don't think it's going to be the next episode of this. I don't know if we're going to do this as the same way, like, the Mana Pool will record live episodes and save them in the can. I think we might just put them out. I just don't know how yet.
We're working on that format.
But,
just a little bit.
Yeah, Miriam has a box.
I do. It was a gift. I have not opened it. I have not taken it out of the cellophane yet. I have been very, very, very restrained. But yeah, the goal is to do some sort of a draft with Haley and Steven and Alex and myself.
Well, not a draft. Probably two-headed giant sealed.
Yeah.
Which we will... I need to make sure I still have lands. I have no idea where any of those would be. I don't know if I have land.
I have land, okay. And Alex has land, and we can bring our combined land for usage.
So, yes, we will probably do a... Either I will see if there's any decent ways to do a four-person draft. I don't think there are. But,
I think maybe Two-Headed Giant might be a good thing, because then I know Haley and I haven't played as much, so then we'll get, like...
Yeah, I mean, the other issue is that Haley is never drafted, so drafting would be really unfun for her, probably. But the
I've
other
done
thing
it
is
once.
On top of having, we could do sealed, and you've got Dominaria, I also have a sealed set of, I've forgotten the unset's name. Unsealed? What the hell is the most recent unset?
Okay, hang on.
I will look at
okay.
Unstable, that was it.
Yes, with all of the crazy mechanics.
Yeah, so I also have a box of Unstable, so I guess we might be trying to do a couple of sealed things.
Mm-hmm, it'll be fun.
Yeah, probably, so, okay, this sounds a little bit stupid, but my brain is going, so we do one with all Dominaria, and one with all Unset, and then if we don't hate each other by the end of it, we say, let's do something weird and mix them up, and see how many, like... So there's a thing called a chaos draft, and this isn't that, but that's the closest thing I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
A chaos draft is a lot more silly, because usually it's go in and, like, there's just a bag. So each person goes and grabs, like, three packs out of the bag. And then you draft with those three packs and everyone else's random three packs. But we could do sort of like a chaos thing and go like, yeah, there's like one Dominaria pack or two Dominaria packs. Or like, actually, since I forgot that we're doing sealed, so it'd just be like three and three. It's like, here's some Dominaria and here's some Unstable and just figure it out. It'll be fine.
Yeah. This should be interesting.
Hang on. What?
Oh, no. I was like, is this the food delivery probably?
Yeah, it was, but were you talking?
No, I was just like, I
that
was...
That means I have to edit. No!
Sorry, I got like, I was like, wait, what's happening? I just heard,
right,
barking,
you can't see
like,
me, but yeah, that was yeah. that was food delivery.
Well then, I was supposed to be talking during that.
Yes, you
My
were.
My bad. Oh, well.
But yeah, I think we're going to be doing some sealed stuff.
Yeah.
We'll see exactly how we're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I had a lot of fun playing with Dominaria at the pre-release that I went to, and I'm like, I just want to keep playing. I just want to keep playing. I want to build a better deck. Because I felt okay with my deck. I don't do a lot of deck building. Because I haven't played in a while. But deck building is not my strongest suit, and the fact that I was able to put together a deck that actually functioned as I intended it to.
See, I think deck building in like that sort of thing is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could deck build when there's restrictions. Like, I could deck build when I'm doing a singleton format, or if I'm doing, like, here are the cards that I have, and it's not very many, so this is what I'm going to have to work with.
Versus having to, like, build a deck out of all the cards that I have, and I'm just like,
yeah.
I don't want to use you, but I could do this. But I want to use you, but no. Yeah. So, it'll be really, really fun to get to play those series.
Yes, it will.
It'll be good stuff.
Sorry, I'm having to send something to... Oh, never mind.
No worries. Do you want to wrap up with this?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So I think with that, thank you very much for listening or watching the 31st episode of The Lair of Lore. I have been Cap.
And I'm Miriam.
We forgot to do that at the beginning. Sorry about that, y'all.
That's okay.
We're bad at this game. But yeah, if you want to find out more about everything that we can do, you can find all of our stuff over at lairoflore.com. You can see our streams because we stream basically every day of the week because I'm insane.
But we don't have to now.
Yes, but I still do because I'm trying to make it my job. I stream pretty much every day of the week over at twitch.tv/lairoflore. Mondays and Tuesdays we do Pokemon. Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays are just sort of a mixed bag of, what do we feel like today? Saturday nights we do D&D, and Sundays in the foreseeable future we're hopefully going to be playing more Hunt Showdown, which is a interesting take on a Battle Royale game where the primary focus is on PvE instead of PvP, so I am enjoying that, playing that mostly with Odinson. You can also get up-to-date information on what we are doing when, and also silly cat pictures and assorted other things over at our Facebook and our Twitter. Both of those are also Lair of Lore.
There's a theme.
Yep, and you can also, if you really like what we do, either subscribe to us on Twitch or help support us on our Patreon, patreon.com/lairoflore, where you can get access to stuff like the Menagerie of the Lore. Where you get...
It became a thing finally!
It's still all tagged as the Derpy Puppy Feed, but yes.
That's okay.
Which is assorted pictures and videos of our dogs and now cat being stupid and sane. Unfortunately, not like the springboard the cat did off my chest this morning. I'll explain that in the extra bits. That's another thing you can get is the extra bits. You can get our pre and post shows, as well as the pre and post shows for D&D and any Patreon exclusive content we produce. All the way up to at some of our higher levels, we'll send you food and drink. Like, I homebrew, and we will send out homebrew and food and candies. Or
because we all cook amazingly.
Or just play D&D with us. We have a tier where we will be setting up a D&D campaign with our patrons. Right now, Stark Maximum is the only one at that tier. By the way, this is his credit shout-out for this. We'll have a credit page here eventually, but right now I'm just doing a personal thank you to Stark. Thank you so very much for being our patron, sir.
Thank you.
Stark is the first patron at that tier, so once we have a couple of more, the first campaign that we were going to be doing is already sort of decided because we're going to be doing the Magic campaign.
Woohoo!
So, we just need a couple more patrons for that one, but these are just a couple of things that you can get. Anyway, with that, I think that's pretty much our whole, like, long spiel shtick at the end. Thank you very much
pretty
for tuning
much.
In. I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye!
Bye!